This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, a magnificent Thursday. I'm hoping it's going to be an informative Thursday because we have a couple different things going on today. So let me set the table for you on what's going to happen on tonight's world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Gavin Newsom is paying his dues with Democrat donors. I'll explain why. I'll explain why Dome, Corinne Diversity Hire, why are they finally getting hard questions? What's actually going on here? Climate change is not polling as a main issue for people. So we're actually going to have a little talk probably fairly soon about tariffs, manufacturing, bringing jobs back. And we're going to tie that climate change stuff into that. All that, we have apparently legions of foreigners on welfare in this country. All that and so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. So before I get to any of that, I wanted to touch a bit more on Arctic Frost because it's back, of course. It's in the news today. Looks like it's going to stay there for the foreseeable future. A reminder, maybe you've been on the outs, maybe you've been in the mountains. Arctic Frost is that FBI investigation. Special Counsel Jack Smith, Christopher Wray, the DOJ, all these guys colluded. They all colluded to weaponize the federal government against Republicans. So let me expand on this a little bit more. You know, I try to be a person who admits when I'm wrong. Now, we all know that's extremely rare, but in all seriousness, I try to be that person, but I have pride like anyone else. How many fights have you gotten in, arguments have you gotten in your life because you're just too prideful to admit you're wrong? So I don't love it. It's more fun to have to make Jewish producer Chris grab some old prediction where I'm right and play that and be obnoxious about it than to have to sit here and tell you, well, I got something wrong. No one enjoys that. You don't. I don't. But I'm going to own something I was wrong about in my younger years, for sure. When I got out, while I was in the Marine Corps, and when I got out, I had some very, very strong views about national security and specifically terrorism. This was the 9/11 era. This is, you're right, Chris. I have every excuse in the world. I watched the towers come down. You know, we fought against these people, so I had some views on terrorism that kind of went something like this. When people, when libertarian types, and that's you, honestly, if that's you, that's fine. I guess that's maybe a bit me, but libertarian types back then would say, hey, obviously terrorism's bad, but expanding government's domestic powers in the name of terrorism, allowing them to spy here and spy there on the American people in the name of hunting down terrorists, that's a really, really bad idea that's going to be abused. And young Jesse, I would say, we'll call him 25-year-old Jesse, give or take, used to mock and belittle those people. You're soft on terror. You don't know what you're talking about. You're enabling the enemy. But they were 100% right. The truth is, giving the government power to hunt down domestic terror, which obviously we want the government hunting down domestic terror, right? But giving the government extra powers to sidestep this and sidestep that in the name of hunting down terror, it did pave the road for the government one day waking up and deciding that you are a terrorist. When we were talking about, when we were wanting even the government to hunt down domestic terrorists, well, you know what we were talking about? We were talking about Al-Qaeda. Later on, we were talking about ISIS. I'm talking about these jihadi nutballs that are flying into buildings and blowing themselves up. I don't mean me. But of course, eventually our federal government gets occupied by evil communists. And for them, all their political enemies are terrorists. And you know what bothers me about this? What bothers me about me, about not seeing this coming? Historically, if you go read things that Stalin said and Mao said, do you know the term they use for their political opponents they're persecuting almost all the time? Terrorist. They were always calling their political opponents terrorists to justify sending the secret state police after these terrorists. Because nobody, Stalin, Mao, nobody wants to stand in front of their people and say, I'm going after my political opposition. I'm going to use the secret police to go after my political opposition. Nobody says that. Then the people might get angry. But you know what the people will be a bit more understanding about? I'm going after terrorists. Hey, go get them, friggin' terrorists. And back when they were lining out these powers for the federal government in the wake of 9/11, young Jesse was all about that life. 44-year-old Jesse now watches the communist FBI hunt down over 1,000 January Sixers, hunt down Donald Trump, Republican consultants, Republican groups. 44-year-old Jesse looks back at young Jesse and thinks, had a lot to learn, didn't you? So we have this Arctic Frost thing. That wasn't actually the point of all that. I actually have 2 points I want to make about the Arctic Frost stuff before we move on and we talk about other things. One of them is this one. Hey, Jess, I'm glad Republican members of Congress are finally becoming angry about the FBI's abuse of power. What bothers me is that they, Republicans, had to be personally targeted for them to become angry. I read this email because it mirrors something I said briefly yesterday. It was on my mind all night, and it really bothers me too. Before I go to insulting the communists, I do have to insult Republicans here. I do. I understand that people are self-serving by their nature. And I understand that many people, most people you would probably say, are more prone to cowardice than bravery. I get that. I understand that. But we elect Republicans not because we're in love with Republicans, not because we're always happy with Republicans. We elect Republicans because we oftentimes, I know I do, view them as the only chance we have to have a political opposition to the communists who want us dead. That's why we elect the Republicans. We elect Republicans to fight the communists on our behalf. That's why, and they know that, by the way. That's why they run all these ads. I'm sure they're already on your television, depending where you are. I'll be the fighter. I'm going to fight. Elect me and I'll fight. I'll fight. I'm a fighter. Look at me. I fight. They know that. We elect these people to fight on our behalf, not their behalf. Now, a central figure in this whole Arctic Frost thing is Justice Boasberg. I know you know the name. Do you know why you know the name? He's that alien-looking freak of a judge who, after Donald Trump got elected the second time, has been making a name for himself, issuing these rulings, trying to stop everything Trump does. It wasn't long ago. We were right here, you and me, screaming about Boasberg this and Boasberg that and Boasberg this and Boasberg that. Okay. Who was the judge signing off on all this illegal crap the FBI was doing? You guessed it. Boasberg. Now, today, we had Republican politician after Republican politician, United States senators, get up behind the podium and call for the impeachment of Justice Boasberg. All right, sounds good. Totally agree. I don't know about you. I'm not going to be shedding any tears for Justice Boasberg. But it wasn't until your phone line was tapped. What if it was my phone line? Would you be calling for it? I know I'm not a senator. I'm not a member of the House of Representatives. What if it was yours? You know what? Forget about me. because I have a big platform, you know, radio show and all that. What if it was you? What if they found out Justice Boasberg approved a completely evil, illegal wiretap on your cell phone, collecting your data, by the way, just like they did to all those poor January Sixers? How many, you know what? That's a perfect example. Let me ask you a question. Name for me every Republican senator who called for a judge to be impeached because they approved the illegal wiretapping of January Sixers. Anybody? Is this microphone on? But they get their information hoovered up. Now it's a big deal. That's crap, man. We expect you to fight for us, not just you. All right. Now, setting that aside, we'll riff on the communists here briefly. Then we'll move on. J.D. Vance is impressing me. Brandon Weikert's coming up a half hour from now to talk about Venezuela and China. Russia is flying military cargo jets into Venezuela. What is happening down in Venezuela? We'll get to all that in a few. Before we get to that, let's get to chalk. Let's get to making sure we feel good all the time. You know, it's the end of the day. I feel like $1 million right now. I feel like I just got out of bed a half hour ago and had a couple cups of coffee. That's how good I feel. Did you know that? A male vitality stack from Chalk will have you feeling like that, whether it's 8:45 in the morning or 8:45 at night. Natural herbal supplements will have you feeling 20 years younger again. I've been on one for 4 years. Go to chalk.com/Jesse. That's chok.com/Jesse. Get a stack in your life. Feel like it's the morning. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. I have to remind you that tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. All 3 hours belong to you, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. 3 hours, whatever you ask me, doesn't even have to be political. Back to what we were discussing. So Arctic Frost is back in the news. We covered a bit of the malfeasance, although there's more stuff that's coming out. I'll get to that in a moment. And I touched on the fact that I have noticed, and it does bother me, that Republican politicians are now finally calling for the impeachment of judges, expressing a great deal of outrage because their phones have been tapped, because they have been tracked. And now it is a big deal, but you matter as much as they do. At least you would like them to think that, or at least pretend, but either way, setting that aside. This is something we've touched on before, but I want to touch on it again because as we find out more about Arctic Frost, for instance, today I got this from my buddy Sean Davis, who's looking into this. It's not just Republican senators. It's not just Republican individuals, meaning the head of certain groups, you know, certain political PACs, which are not criminal at all. These are all groups on the up and up. They also dug into the groups themselves and pulled donor lists and email addresses as part of this investigation. They completely took apart and hoovered up all the data on people in Republican politics, a complete witch hunt to create an enemies list. This was insanely evil and frightening beyond belief. This is how people end up in gulags. This is really, really, really bad. All right, that's what they did. I'm going to read you something. It's a direct quote. Ken Delanian is a communist. He works for MSNBC, NBC. He poses as a reporter, but he's a communist. So I just laid out what they did. Keep in mind, as I mentioned yesterday, tracking people's, not just their phone numbers, who they called, who they texted, what their location was, tearing apart organizations, hoovering up. It was so far-reaching, so illegal, so out of line. The communists got elected and used all the forces inside the government against his political opponents to create enemies lists, hunt down innocent people all over the country. Now, this is Ken Dalanian. Quote, he's talking about Chuck Grassley. He has yet to produce evidence, and he put this in quotes, the Biden DOJ did anything improper in investigating a plot among Trump supporters to overturn a free and fair election, or that Biden had anything to do with the investigation at all. January 6th, I will always believe, was an operation conducted by the federal government. I believe there is a mountain of evidence out there. The FBI agents in the crowd, the people who have never been identified, who were the main instigators of all that riot stuff. Now, that always begged the question, why would the government want a riot? Why would Nancy Pelosi refuse National Guard? Why would we have people on camera telling people to go into the Capitol, and they were getting not only not arrested, they were getting puff pieces in the New York Times? Why would the government, if I'm correct, why would the government do January 6th on purpose? I thought they were all very concerned about the whole thing, weren't they? Why would they do it? You're reading it right now, why they would do it. You're reading it exactly right now. Yeah, Ray Epps is on camera saying we're going to go into the Capitol. He's on camera whispering something in some guy's ear. As soon as he whispers it, the guy turns around and batters down the barricades. He wasn't hunted down like a dog. Here he was on 60 Minutes.
Why didn't you stop to help this police officer who was knocked over?
When she was knocked down and I started to go towards her to help her up, and I saw a billy club over here in the corner of my eye, and I thought, you know, they're going to think I'm part of this. So I backed off.
You were part of it.
I was there. I wasn't a part of that, knocking her down.
And he wasn't part of the violence. There's a big difference there.
Why would the federal government, if I'm correct, why would they do this? You're witnessing right now. That's why you do it. You run an operation like this, if it was an operation, because it makes your political opponents look like domestic terrorists. You use that operation as justification to tap the phone lines of United States senators to hunt down January 6ers all over the country with the promise of more. You use that as justification to go through the donor lists, email addresses of your political opponents. You essentially use that as the way you can pick the lock, open up the door, and hoover up all the intelligence you've been wanting on your political opponents, and they did. It's really bad. All right. Are we going to invade Venezuela? And why are Russian cargo jets flying into Venezuela? Are they dropping off Cheetos? Let's talk to Brandon Weikert about that in a moment. Before we talk to Brandon Weikert about that, let me talk to you about what matters, especially as you get older. As you get older, you come to realize that the memories are the most important thing. Of everything we have in our house, you know what gives me the most joy? The pictures Ob puts up on the wall. Oh, remember when we went to this family reunion? Remember when we went to California? Remember when we did this? Remember when I baptized you? Remember those pictures? Those are everything. They're everything. Do you have all your hard copy pictures digitized? Legacy Box will digitize these for you by hand. They do it by hand. It's not some big soulless machine. And then they send you your pictures back with digital copies. Make sure those memories are forever, that future generations will enjoy them, that you can sit there on your phone and soak them up. That's what Legacy Box does for you. That's what they did for me. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Remember, tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now we have to talk Venezuela. We have to talk China. Brandon Weikert is our go-to for all of these questions. He has criticisms of the China deal. But first, before we go China, Brandon, I want to know why there are Russian cargo jets landing in Venezuela.
Well, it's because they know we're getting ready to invade Venezuela, and they're trying to help their client out as much as possible.
Okay, now I'm going to touch on that for a moment. Help them out as much as possible, because it used to be proxy wars were fought with at least some level of secrecy, even if everyone knew what everyone was doing.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we started shipping weapons to Ukraine, and every American politician bragged about how many Russians we were killing with them. So
yeah.
I'm assuming the veil of secrecy is off on this sort of thing, and Russia's just going to come out and say, we gave them this so they can kill Americans.
Well, the Russians aren't saying that. It's the Venezuelans who are saying it. The Venezuelans have let the cat out of the bag, and they're letting everybody know, and I think we've confirmed, that the Russians have given them the KH-31A anti-ship ballistic missile. We're still trying to determine if the Russians handed over the even more advanced KH-31AD anti-ship ballistic missile, but it's somewhat ironic, because I think the reason Maduro is sharing this publicly is to try to put the fear of God into the Americans so that they won't attack. But it's actually, I think, encouraging the Pentagon to seek to strike a land invasion, partly because they're going to want to send the Marines to go hunt those launch sites down and make sure they're destroyed, because the KH-31A and the KH-31AD definitely are such very serious threats to our warships that are off the coast of Venezuela right now.
Brandon, can you expand on this missile and its capability? Because most people do not understand. So is this, we can't stop it? Can it sink an aircraft carrier? What can these things do? What's the range? What's their capability?
Well, not to get too technical, our ships, all of them right now that are operating off the coast of Venezuela, are within range of this thing. And our ships have to be where they are to support any kind of operation that we will be conducting in the Venezuelan area. So our ships really can't move that far if they want to be in a support role. Of course, we have, I believe, a Los Angeles-class submarine off the coast armed with Tomahawk cruise missiles, and that will play a factor as well. That's not threatened by this missile, but our surface ships are, including the USS Gerald R. Ford, which the last I heard about 4 or 5 days ago, it was being retasked from the Mediterranean over to the Caribbean to support what I suspect will be an invasion of Venezuela. The thing about these missiles, the Russians have been, listen, we have a lot of misinformation in the West about the Russian military capabilities. Just to clear up any confusion, the Russians are very serious players militarily. They are not, as McCain described them before he died, just a giant gas station with nukes. They are a very real military power. They have very serious systems of increasingly complex capabilities. This missile is one of them, and they have a war machine right now, a war economy, that can industrially produce these things like sausages, and they are. These weapons are very dangerous to U.S. Navy warships, and that is why they are flying them in by the plane load and have been for a year or so to Venezuela in anticipation that we were going to do this. These things can swarm. They are very cheap to produce, relatively speaking. They can be fired in multiple iterations, and they can overwhelm the ship-based air defenses that we have, anti-missile defenses that we have on the destroyers, on the carrier. This is their threat. It's not necessarily that one will only one fired or two fired will be the threat. It's that dozens and dozens of them fired at once at a single target will overwhelm the onboard defense systems.
Okay. Again, we're speaking with Brandon Weichert. Sorry, we are going to nerd out on some technical details because details matter, and they can be the difference between 3,000 sailors going to the bottom of the ocean or not.
Right.
Okay, Brandon, so you already brought up taking them out at the launch site. Can you talk to me about the launch site? And I ask it very stupidly for this reason. Can we not detect the launch site and drop a Tomahawk on it before they send an aircraft carrier to the bottom of the ocean?
Yeah, no, I am sure that we will be doing our own with, like I said, that Los Angeles class submarine that's lurking there. I am sure we will be doing everything we can to knock out known launch sites. The problem is, you know, Trump said he doesn't like to telegraph military movements, but unfortunately, this has been the worst telegraphed one he's done, in the sense that the Venezuelans have known since at least August we're coming. So they have had time to dismantle their launch sites and disperse them throughout the country, harden the sites and whatnot. And the Russians are experts at that. And the Russians have absolutely been helping them do this, as, by the way, have the Iranians.
Okay, so hardening the sites. Don't we have all these different things we can drop that can destroy bunkers deep underground? How do you harden a site where we can't touch it?
The Israelis did not, in their war with Iran, contrary to what the media is saying, none of those underground missile cities were destroyed because the Iranians had hardened them so well that they still have these massive bunkers of hypersonic weapons and missiles. It's the same thing going on here. Plus, they can hide them out in the jungle. It's harder for us to detect. This is why the discussion is they want to send in Marines to basically verify we're going to be able to kill these things before they can be much of a threat to the fleet. But of course, the fact is, all it takes is one swarm. I mean, you know, all it takes is one go. They don't even have to sink an American ship. All they have to do is damage it sufficiently that there are some pretty amazing photos of it that go out on the internet, and that sends a signal to the rest of the world that Uncle Sam really isn't as powerful as he once was, and then it's open season on the United States.
Brandon, again, speaking with Brandon Weichert here, politically, and I know that's not necessarily what you and I usually talk about, but politically, doesn't this put Donald Trump in an extreme amount of danger politically? Because the American people, especially now, they're kind of okay with a little foreign adventuring. If you're dropping some bombs on Iran with no real threat to our troops, no damage to our stuff, wake up one day, we celebrate on Instagram and call it a day.
Yeah.
If an American sailor dies down in, off Venezuela, they're going to start asking harder questions.
Yeah. Well, especially if this turns out like Iraq did. Because remember, Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld, they were running around telling everybody that the invasion was going to pay for itself. We were going to go in, topple Saddam, be greeted as liberators, install a democracy in short order. And oh, by the way, all the oil and natural gas would pay for the invasion. Of course, none of that happened. We ended up getting stuck holding a bag, you know, an insurgency. It was a nightmare. It took us a decade to get out of there, and we got out of there with our tail behind, between our legs. Similarly, my concern, and I'm not saying this will happen, but my concern is twofold. First, Trump is clearly committed to regime change in Venezuela, and I'm no lover of Maduro. Happy to see him go, but it's really a problem for us if we do this, because secondly, Maduro is mobilizing 3 million of his Bolivarian militia guys. Now, there's a lot of debate in the military kind of observing community as to how combat effective these guys are. But even if a quarter of that number is combat effective, we're talking about, you know, another Vietnam potentially here, because we're going to try to get out after we knock out Maduro, and we're going to find that we kicked over a hornet's nest.
Brandon, do you have another segment for me to talk China?
Yeah.
We will be back with more Brandon Weichert. This is exactly why I wanted him to come on. Ow. Hey, Chris, I just bit my tongue. I don't know how I did that when I was talking, but I bit my tongue. Don't worry. Why aren't you worried? It hurts. You know, your dog hurts because you don't give him rough greens. Your dog doesn't get any nutrition from his dog food. That brown dog food, you know why it's brown? Because they cook dog food at an insanely high temperature, burning all the nutrients out of it. Brown things are dead. Sprinkle rough greens on your dog's food. Your dog will be healthier. Fewer trips to the vet. If you've got an older dog, their joints get younger, their digestive system, their coat gets better. No matter what kind of dog you have, large, small, young, old, give them nutrition for the first time ever. Rough Greens. It's America's number one dog supplement for a reason. Fred adores it. For he won't eat his food now without it, freaking snob. Go to roughgreens.com. Or call 214-ROUGH-DOG. That gets you a free Jumpstart trial bag. Free. RoughGreens.com. Just make sure you use the promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Now, let's talk Trump. China trade deal. What, we have one more year now with rare earths. So what are the details of all this? What do we like? What do we hate? Brandon Weikert, of course, joins us again for this. Brandon, talk to me. Did we do well? Did we do poorly?
Well, I just want to clarify one thing, because I think I said launch site about the KH-31A in Venezuela. I meant to say the depots, because the launch site are the air bases, because they're launched by the Russian-made warplanes. But it's the depots where they're housed. That's what I was talking about. That's why I mentioned the Iranian missile cities. But with that being out of the way, the question of China-U.S. trade war, this is a sticky wicket. I'm getting a lot of pushback from my friends and the Mar-a-Lago crew, because I think we got our butts handed to us in the trade war by China, and I think the Chinese know it, and I think the rest of the world, notably the Global South, knows it, which is breathing new life into the BRICS alliance. Contrary to what Trump said, it's not dead. The fact of the matter is China had one card to play, and they played it brilliantly, and that was the rare earth mineral ban, or the threat of a rare earth mineral ban, specifically the export controls they wanted to put in on heavy rare earth minerals. That's the stuff that we need to make everything from your laptop to cruise missiles and everything in between. And the Chinese control the bulk of it. And when Trump went after them in the trade war, they said, you can tariff us all you want, but you're not getting access to the rare earth minerals. And now Trump realized that, and that's why he's trying to cut a deal at all costs.
Okay, so Brandon, how in the world do we get to a place where the Chinese control so much that they have this leverage over us? What?
Well, remember, this is what Trump was rightly attacking in all three of his campaigns whenever the issue of trade came up. I mean, he's the only president in my lifetime who talked about this seriously and had an idea of what to do about it. The problem is he ran out of time. He ran out of daylight. Because what happened was, going back to the 1970s, Nixon and Carter both opened up to China. And ever since then, 40 or 50 years now, both Republican and Democratic Party presidents have systematically dismantled our own capability to produce stuff and to mine for things here. And they gave it to the Chinese. And as we shut down here and Wall Street got rich off the shutting down of everything, the Chinese were able to make themselves into a, industrial mega, mega power, a superpower. And now they've reached kind of that critical moment where they have their hand on the beating heart of the rare earth mineral market, which is the one bottleneck that if they were to cut us off from, we would basically go back to the 18th century technologically.
Don't we have our hand on their economic heart too, because they need us buying things? Or have they found so many new customers they don't need us as bad as they used to need us?
This is the key thing here. It's not that the Chinese beat us so completely they're laughing that, that we're never going to be a factor. You're right. They did need us to buy stuff, at least for now. But they are finding alternative markets, much the same way the Russians are, for their stuff. The key thing here with China is the objective, right? What was our objective? What was their objective? Our objective was a lot harder to achieve. Our objective was we want to get as much of our stuff out of China and get our companies out of China to either return to the United States, onshoring or reshoring, or to go to a friendly country called friendshoring, where our supply chains couldn't be disrupted and China couldn't do what they did ultimately to us in the trade war. What China's objective was a lot easier. They just needed to hang on long enough to inflict enough pain on our farmers and our high tech and our defense establishment that they would then get us to reopen trade with them. And that is exactly what they've gotten. And so that is why I say they won the trade war, because their objectives were much more attainable. And they calculated correctly that by squeezing us on that one issue, the rare earth mineral issue, they could basically get us to, you know, contort in ways I don't think Trump would have had to do even 4 years ago. My friend Dan Collins, who's done a bunch of business in China, he's a factory guy, he builds factories for a living. He told me about 2 weeks ago that the reason the tech war and the trade war went better in Trump's first term is because China depended on us for helium. You need helium to make a lot of this technology that China's making. So from 2020 until about a year ago, China embarked on a nationwide Manhattan project to no longer be dependent on the U.S. for helium. That was our silver bullet against them in the trade war. They took it away from us, and they knew when Trump got elected, he was going to play the trade war card. We didn't have the kind of vulnerability to exploit in them that they had on us with the rare earth mineral, which is why it's playing out the way it is now.
Brandon, I've only got about a minute left, but I do have to ask, because you mentioned it, why is BRICS not dead? I thought we were past all this.
Oh, because, look, America looks weak right now, and they don't like the way that we handle the dollar, how we weaponize it and we use it for sanctions and whatnot. Or they're threatening to take the sovereign wealth fund of Russia, a nuclear-armed superpower. So the rest of the developing world is going, hey, if they can do that to Russia, the Americans are going to do it to little old us. So we're going to align with Russia and China because we're not going to be pushed around. It's the politics of resistance. That's what you're dealing with.
Brandon Weikert, go read his stuff. He writes amazing books, by the way. Brandon, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Dang it. Look, I understand when it comes to deals. This is why I wanted him on today to talk about this China deal. I understand when it comes to deals that not everybody, no side is going to be 100% happy. That's part of the point of making a deal. You're going to have to give a little, and I'm going to have to give a little. I understand all that. And I am hopeful that we will come out the back end of this well. But we essentially, the clock has begun ticking from what I understand about this trade deal. We don't have rare earths for years. We have it for a year. We have a year to figure out how to source this stuff. If we cannot, we will technologically fall behind the other superpower on the globe that wants to topple us. And that kind of seems important, doesn't it? All right. Never fear. That's only 1 hour. We still have 2 more hours left on an amazing Thursday. And then Ask Dr. Jesse Friday's coming tomorrow. So don't worry. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.